decision on the Sky Hall court case. I just want to know. Bob Fisher just wants to know if we want to remediate that or just take it forward.
The sky is actually going to fall. If the sky is actually going to fall.
That's it. Some politician quoted on that. But that was his comeback. Yeah.
So that's, I think that was all there was to add to it. Anyway,
you are?
I am here. I'm Meg Staloff. I work for BDCC, and I'm just here to...
Come on up if you want.
Okay. We try and give an update every year because we ask for a funding request for every town in the Windham region. And
no
so
money this year.
We like to come count for ourselves. That's it.
Money's been canceled this year.
Money's been canceled.
A long list of appropriations.
Yesterday, a lot of stuff has been canceled. Well, no. So we come by just to talk about what we do. So SEVIDS is a nonprofit organization that helps just look at regional economic development. It's the stuff that's too small for every town to look at kind of on their own. The SEVIDS board also helps with, sits on a steering committee with counterparts from Bennington to do a comprehensive regional economic development plan for two counties. Basically, what that does is they look at what are the trends, what are the needs, and kind of dive into some of that background research, and then that helps inform programs that BDCC does. So BDCC is the Regional Economic Development Organization for the Windham region, but we do more than just kind of that traditional economic development, which is, you know, businesses, attraction, retention. We've also started workforce programs in all the local high schools, which is something that SEVIDS helped fund. I work on a program that does works on building capacity for municipalities and nonprofit organizations to find ways to get stuff done, increase their capacity. We also, again, support the businesses. We have several buckets. We do workforce, we do community development, and we do that traditional economic development. So the funding that we get through the towns goes to SEVIDS, and then it's used in different ways. Oftentimes it's used as matching funds that we leverage many times over with grants. So the program that funds my work is a USDA program, and we have to put up 50%. So we put in, they put in the same amount. And so depending on the needs and the organizational flow at BDCC, that town funding lets us go chase new grant funds. It lets us fund ongoing programs. Sometimes if we don't get a grant because the funder decides their work is done, but we know the work still has to continue, it gives us that basis to be able to continue our work and to keep professional staff employed. So some examples of the work we do, I did bring you guys all a nice little annual report. That's from last year. And then this is some programs I have coming up for municipal leaders. This is I do webinars, so I have VLCT coming on to talk about some of their new programs, which isn't just the kind of nuts and bolts stuff. They have a municipal operations team now that does really great work in helping towns figure out how to get those big projects done. They have a lot of resources. They have a lot of templates. This is actually interesting probably to everybody, just to look at kind of the work they do. So that's a free webinar. And then we have our directors all coming along with the CHIP program. We just rescheduled this. We were supposed to have it last Tuesday, but it snowed a little bit, so we had to reschedule it. So one more chance on this, economic development for every town. So I've been holding meetings quarterly for select board staff, you know, planning commission people to come and kind of some of these issues, like, to help speak with each other and get resources directly for, and we find in a lot of our small towns, it's gotten more and more complicated, you may have noticed, running a small town. And so we try and get select board members together to sort of talk through, share successes, problems, and bring in people. We have that person coming from the CHIP program to help talk about how towns can use that to build infrastructure for housing. So we try and bring those resources to Southern Vermont because often we feel like we're pretty far from Montpelier, and it's really important to bring those resources to us. And that's a lot of the work that I do, sort of to say, how do we get these people down here, making sure that they're helping us. They know what we need. They know what our projects are. So that's not traditional economic development, but that's the kind of economic development that matters in rural areas where we're not going to have, you know, a big business come in and land. It's really based on what's happening at that community level, what's happening to help keep our kids in the area, what's happening to help bring people here, and then support the businesses that we do have and support the workforce that we have. So that's what we do. That's why we ask you for money. This year, you'll notice, so we have been trying to work to, we try and ask everybody the same amount in the same way so that it feels equitable. So we needed to update our ask. It's based on population. So we've been continuing to ask Stratton based on the 2010 population because the 2020 census was like hugely inflated. And I think a lot of that in towns that have a large second home population, we were like, that was Wilmington, that was Dover, that was Marlboro, Londonderry, and also Stratton. So we did not update your population number that we do the ask on. So we waited until we had 4 years of data from the American Community Survey that goes back in and reanalyzes that data. So it did still go up this year.
Really, everybody knows that. What do you want to watch?
Well, so we have based the ACS data says that the population is now 406, which means like I think that the one from the COVID year was like 772.
Yeah.
So that is what we requested that year. I will say, you know, that if that feels like a huge increase, we're always happy to have people level fund us. In some towns, like in Marlboro, I believe they're going to level fund us this year, and that's just letting you know that we did raise that number. It went up quite a bit because it went from 216 to 406. We're happy to reevaluate next year.
Yeah,
so our ask for this year would be
12, 18.
Like
maybe at the most.
So we based our number that we were asking for on like the number that we could find.
Yeah,
so all I'm saying is you can, towns, our request is based on data, and we do it the same way in every town. Not every town funds us at the level that we ask. So I'll leave that there. You can decide. The amount this year was 1218 that we requested. It turns out to be a smaller amount on the warning. We will not kick and scream. We will continue to thank you for your ongoing support for many years, and again, continue to be here to serve all the towns. So that's sort of why I wanted to come by this year to say don't be terrified. It is a larger number this year. If that feels like to you that it doesn't reflect the population, we kind of had to do everybody the same way, and we're still looking at those towns where there was a huge fluctuation. I mean, when we looked at the 2020, it was like, it said like 700-something people, and that did not feel correct. So that is why we held off in a lot of those towns. And I know I'm from Wilmington, and we saw the same thing. There was a big bump, and now it's kind of leveled because a lot of those people are not in their own. So
we do need to get more than we.
Well, what, you can't get DoorDash, right? You can't get, there's no Uber service?
Yeah.
It's a little different. It's a little different.
Why we like it.
Well, you know, not gonna lie. It's true. So that's that. If you have any questions about, you know, what we do and for us, that's, you know, it's kind of, you know, sometimes people think economic development is just about the businesses and sort of the big businesses, and it's like it's about the big businesses, it's about the small businesses, it's about the communities, it's about the workforce, and it's about helping people, you know, move forward and navigate through, you know, funding changes.
You mentioned keeping our kids here.
Yeah.
What's your plans on that?
Well, I mean, obviously we can't wave a magic wand, but the work that my colleague Christy Beatty works with the local high school, so she's in Twin Valley, she's in Brattleboro, she's in Bells Falls, and she's in Leland and Gray, doing workforce training and education to help connect kids to opportunities.
I have a suggestion.
Sure.
You want the kids to make some money, keep a lot of it, in the trade school.
Well, that is exactly,
who's
I know.
Who's going to push every kid to college?
Well, that is what, that's what Christy
does. There's no focus on it whatsoever.
Right.
It hasn't been. I'm almost 70. When
right.
I was 18, nothing's changed.
Well, that's what Christy does, and actually what she does is she has events in the schools where kids are getting exposed to other kinds of opportunities.
That's
no, because you're
that's
right.
Good.
I know. Listen, I just had to replace my furnace, and I know the hourly on that. I was like, telling my daughters want to be ballerinas, and I'm like, no, girls, you want to be an HVAC technician. Yes, you want to be a plumber. You want to be an electrician, because we also need those people. So that is a lot of the stuff that Christy does, and it's not just educating the kids. It's actually more educating the educators and helping the educators understand that. So she feels like most of her job is educating the parents and the teachers and the administrators in the school, not just the kids, because kids want to, you know, if you ask most of the kids in the high school, do they want to stay in Vermont? They'll say they do. Which actually more than they used to. They used to say, I want to get out of here. When I was going to high school, I want to get out of here as fast as possible, right? But now I think more of the kids do want to stay here. And so her work is really that workforce building. It's finding the ways to connect the dots and then for the education system to catch up to the reality. So
that's a problem. When you give our kids a pretty good education, they don't say, see you later, bye. The population's getting old.
It is. Yeah. I mean, it is. For real.
Start doing something like that.
Another thing, my colleague who does the other half of my program also works with a program called GROW, which is helping bring people to Vermont. And so it's like you say, you can't just move here and then realize there's no DoorDash. So a lot of what she does is help people to understand what it's like to live here and then connect them with other people, so local hosts and with each other, which seems frivolous, but it's actually really important because if they have that kind of support and network, they think, oh, it's really different living to Vermont, and they connect to it. So that's what a lot of what we do. So that's that.
Okay.
I know someone's waiting to call in, so I don't want to take up too much time. We probably have important things to do. But any other concerns that you have here at Stratton that we can answer?
No, I don't think so. One of the problems we have is we're kind of like out of the way.
Yeah.
We're off of Route 100. We're not near anybody. We just kind of get on the side.
Yeah, two big businesses, one over there and one over there.
Right.
Two or three different private services in the town, the rescue squads, some over there, some from over here. Mm-hmm. We're just kind of in a difficult spot.
Right, so sharing services is something that...
Yeah.
That's something that I think I'm going to explore for the Municipal Leaders Network next year, is how towns are sharing services and what they could benefit from and how to do it, because the state hasn't really figured out how to actually support that, so it kind of leaves towns on their own.
They never will figure it out.
Well, you know, I see that too. Like, I know Athens and Grafton have a similar thing where they, especially in Athens, they share rescue and things like that. And that's, you know, there are definitely other towns in that position for sure.
Well, some of the jobs are too complicated to really fit for volunteers. So the requirements for those jobs are just.
Is that mostly for like emergency services, you think?
Yeah, I read all of
them. We're working out here, right?
Chris could probably say it better, but I mean, there's, you know,
it's a lot more required of you now.
Right.
More and more time.
Alarm,
you know, the demand for the services is higher. And so
is there a separate, do you have rescue here or you share?
It's all mutual aid like it is in every other. The fire department in this town doesn't have an EMS squad, and Wardsboro does.
Okay.
And so 45 years ago, the town was divided because you couldn't even get to the other side of town, or 50 years ago, So Wardsboro always covered this side. They're both pretty small groups, so they work together.
Right,
And Stratton's daytime response, because everybody works out of town, is way down. So But it's not. It's all over the country.
Right.
It's everywhere. It's not just here. But it's just. It's hard. You know. It's things have become a lot more complicated.
Right.
You know,
it's harder to care.
Firefighting is more complicated than it used to be. You know, you used to wear a pair of rubber boots and a raincoat. Now you put on about $12,000 worth of equipment. You know,
just
times 30 guys, and then they wonder why the budget is. You know,
right.
It used to be a 45-hour school, but be a firefighter now.
It's like 245
or 50
hours.
You know, everybody's wife.
3 hours
now.
A night.
Right.
It's just it's becoming more complex, like everything is.
Right.
You know, and.
Sure.
And
hard to find.
I mean, thank God, like in the state of Vermont, the EMS is the training and the certification is mandated.
Right.
And if they ever did that with the fire service, they'd probably lose half of it. You know, there's really not a lot of mandates of the firemen like there are those people. And I think they know that if they ever tried, everybody would just walk away from it.
Right, and there's no capacity to fund a professional firefighter.
Yeah, not in every town, unfortunately. It's
right.
It's hard. It's very complicated.
Right.
You know, thank God that all the people who volunteer do. You know,
right.
I mean, and that's why it's a whole mutual aid network all over the place.
You have to. And I think also just funding roads, I think, is also very complicated, more complicated, and getting drivers. So those are things, I'm just going to say, we see those trends happening in every town. And so CDL permitting is a big thing that we've been working on, trying to crack that nut and make that more accessible, because it's also really hard to get a CDL, and we need more CDL drivers just to do stuff for, you know, town work,
mm-hmm.
which is...
Years ago, you get a CDL for $200-$300 an hour.
Right. You have to drive to Rutland or Springfield.
$20,000 to get a CDL?
Well, you would have to drive to Rutland or Springfield. That's the most.
Well, you still do, but now there's a lot of training involved with it now, so it
kind
of boosted the cost.
No, and I think that's the thing, is trying to get that.
$20,000 to get a CDL?
Some places, yeah.
I mean, you can often get it. There's also funding for that, but it's also just the accessibility. So sitting here and trying to, you know, get to Rutland or Springfield is not for everyone. Anyway, those are things we know, we work on, we think about. I can't say I have all the solutions, but it's definitely, that's the kind of stuff that we turn over and try and figure out how to help mitigate slowly but surely along the way. So, I hear that.
That's good. It's good to have an organization that can do something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
rather
we...
just individual towns or
right.
individual people trying to do things.
Well, and then we also try and filter up to the state what we hear and what we see, because
you got a problem with the legislature.
You have to
putting
connect
requirements on things that don't need to have those.
Well, and it's just finding the connection. So a lot of what we do is we try and connect what we hear and what we know to how does that work on the ground and what do we see, and we filter that back up. So I hear what I hear at select board meetings. I take it to, you know, SEVIDS, that goes, you know, to our directors. We make it up to hopefully to more ears further
along. Like the legislature, they don't solve any of the big problems. They just create some more stupid laws that you have to follow that are going out to squat.
Well, we try and advocate for that.
It's like, you know, this will divert them for a while.
Right.
You
know. Well, we work a lot with VLCT. That's very good at sort of listening and hearing and conveying. And so that's why I work a lot with them. I have them come down, and they've got some smart people. So this webinar we're doing, they have a lot of resources that they've developed to really help make it easier for towns to navigate that. I don't. I mean, that's, well, we're looking at that, and we're looking, they actually realized they couldn't make a map because it was too difficult to do
it.
What
they spend on the survey to come up with nothing.
Well, maybe
it
was actually a volunteer. We had, you know, a lot of senators and stuff like that. Actually, a Windham County senator was on that, and they just, as they started looking at it, they said, you know, you can't force people into doing that. And so our concern is that to not create school deserts within the region. So we're looking at that. We're looking at towns that have schools that are, on the edge. I mean, around here, there's been quite a few.
Every school down, Gold Mill ones and Bus Kids. I don't know. Seems like that might cost them much.
Right.
No.
So
what she's working on is, you know, like Marlboro. Marlboro has no income kindergarten. Because there's no 25-year-olds.
Part of that is the cost of housing.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, so we
it's,
you start
it's
by
a
working.
It's a multifaceted problem.
Right.
The cost of housing.
Right.
And the lack of housing.
Jobs that pay for that. Yeah.
Right. It's like years ago, Jamaica had to put the big addition on their school because they had so many kids, and now they have none.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're closing it. You know,
right.
It's
been closed.
They just
So that's what we're looking at, and making sure that as people are looking at that, they're thinking about how does that affect the town for the future? How do you plan? What's the way out of it? How do you think about that? Again, we don't really often bring answers, but we try and bring the what happens if, and then what can you do, and how do you, you know, study that and look at making sure that there doesn't end up being a whole school desert in the middle of Plymouth County, because that's something that would affect us coming here. So, again, look at the problems. We can't always propose the solutions, but sometimes understanding the problems helps you get to where you can go.
Well,
anyway, I don't want to take any more questions. I know you guys have a lot to do.
We understand. Yeah, sure.
And you don't have to be too in-depth, but how did you get to this career path? And I ask this just because I have teenagers.
Right.
So, like, whenever I meet somebody who's in a position that you don't really think of,
right,
I like to ask them how they got there.
It's a very winding and circuitous route. However, I grew up here, moved to New York City, did something completely different, moved back, worked in the trenches, you know, I've waited my table, slept on all that stuff, and I became involved. I was a downtown manager for the downtown program in Wilmington for 5 years. And I sort of just fell into that because I was like, all right, I'm smart, I'm going to do stuff. And just loved it and really became really engaged with community development. And then this was my dream job. So now I do that. And I sort of do that same work, which is helping communities figure out how to find that funding and move things forward and create vitality. So that's how. It's a very circuitous route. But I loved having interns, and that's like something we do is try and have interns come in and have local kids, you know, come and do this work and say there's, and we have two younger people that work in our office that all grew up here, one in Dover, one in Putney, and they kind of fell in the same reason. They came and they moved back here and they wanted to do something that was, you know, interesting, and they're smart, and so we love that. And actually, a whole bunch of people in our office grew up here, so it's actually great. We have like 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 15 are local, local middle-aged people that were local kids once.
They kind of understand
right.
situations and
right.
Yeah.
That's how we. So that's, you know, and so we love to have interns for that reason, because we're working on it. Maybe we can get a couple more. Just make sure that we, you know, we're working with UVM to maybe have some internship possibilities for the summer, just because that's what it is, to engage kids and say, there's stuff you can do, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
You should, you know, come back. You're not going to get rich. I'm going to say, how do you make money in Vermont? Bring a lot with you, so it's like, I don't know. I tell my kids, be plumbers or marry well, or both, right?
Yeah.
And then they want to be ballerinas. What are you going to do?
Yeah, where do you go with that?
Yeah.
Well, if you're really good, you make some money.
Yeah,
you're really, really good. And
yeah,
also,
what's the percentage?
Probably not in Vermont, unfortunately.
No.
So,
my toes hurt just watching.
I know. When your toes break down, you can tell that.
Yeah.
Do something else. All right. Thank you,
Tony.
Thank you very much.
Have a good night.
Happy
holidays.
Thank
you.
So, next we've got the, I got to give Alyssa Sabato a call about the hazard mitigation plan that's on the agenda. She's trying to wrap this thing up. So she's doing it by the phone.
What is she going to do?
Will we get clear? Hazard mitigation. That's the WRC. She's the WRC.
He is.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be, but he
yeah,
isn't.
Same reason you don't want to be.
We're
lying.
Avoid hazards.
Hello, sorry that took a little longer than we expected. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and put you on speaker, and then we'll work with it from there. All right? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. So you're on speaker.
Okay. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
RPC and today was actually the comment deadline. I'm happy to extend that a little bit if you'd like, but I wanted to provide an opportunity to meet with you and see if you had any comments you wanted to share with me now. I've had a chance to take a look at the document and just want to leave that open for you. Does anyone have anything?
I just picked it up. I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's been on the town website, and it was sent out to folks internally to the town for a couple of weeks, and then it went out and was posted and available for public comment for a couple of weeks.
Did we receive any public comment on it?
No.
Did you get anything? We didn't get anything. No.
Why couldn't we invite Victor to a meeting?
I thought he was going to be here.
But, I mean, he knows this thing inside out, I would assume. Right?
Are you talking about Victor?
Yeah, Victor.
I talked with Victor today. He's up in the air, I think, right now, flying. But
up in the air?
He and I have reviewed the document. He had a couple of things, and we went over them. I received a couple of comments internally during that town comment period, and so I did address those before the draft went out for public comment. So what was included with those comments is what you should have now. And then I did, when I sent it out to the other towns, I got feedback from Jamaica, Bennington RPC, and Manchester, and they didn't have any comments, but they just, you know, expressed that they had read it and you know, it looked good to them. So that's it. That's all I've received. So I just.
I'd like to meet with Victor and see what he thinks about it. Like I said, he's had his head in this thing more so than we have, right? He helped develop it.
Basically, it's an update from the previous one that we've had. How often is it updated? Every 5 years?
Yes, they have a 5-year link.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy. Would you like me to... If I left it available for comment until the end of the week, would that work for timing?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd work okay.
Okay, so if you want to share any comments back by the end of the day on Friday, that would work then?
Okay.
Perfect,
okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Right. Yeah, that's thank you. And I mean, if it's on...
I can,
how about like over the weekend and maybe get me anything by Monday
to
give you another weekend?
I think we'll be able to wrap it up by the end of the day, Friday.
Okay, all right, good. So we'll do that, and then, so that means early next week I will wrap up the document, address any remaining comments, and then the next step in the process is for me to get the plan submitted to Vermont Emergency Management. So I will do that, you know, hopefully next week. And then as soon as it's submitted to Vermont Emergency Management is when the town's Emergency Relief Assistance Fund criteria is met for the local hazard mitigation plan. So that happens before it's approved. And so after that, then wait for Vermont Emergency Management to send us any comments they have or a preliminary approval. And after it is preliminarily approved, if there are comments, I'll address them and then I'll send it back to them. And eventually, we would get a preliminary approval from Vermont Emergency Management, which typically takes a couple of months just because they have a lot of plans they're generally reviewing. And after it's preliminarily approved, I'll let you know that, and VEM would also email you that information, and that would be the point when it's ready for adoption. But I will give you instructions on that when it's time. exactly like, well, you need to design it and that kind of thing. So at this point, you know, there's nothing to do except review it, give me comments, and then just kind of hold on until I let you know that it's ready to adopt. But I would expect that to be in the first few months of 2026 that we finish that, and then after it's adopted, it'll be resubmitted back to Vermont Emergency Management, who will then send it off to FEMA for final approval. And then once FEMA final approves it is when the clock starts ticking for that next 5-year update.
Okay.
So that,
we can do
the
that.
Rest of the process.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah, sure. Thank you guys for taking a look at it and gals. And I'll look for any comments on Friday. I did, that's the first piece of what I wanted to say. And I just, if I have about maybe 5 more minutes, I would just like to share a bit. I had emailed you on the 19th of November with an email that I was hoping you would be sending out to the Planning Commission and the Select Board. Did that get sent out?
Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully you've had a chance to take a look at that email regarding a potential update of your flood hazard regulations. So right now, FEMA mapping is being updated. FEMA mapping is the mapping of the special flood hazard area. There's not very much of it in Staten, and there's very few buildings. I think there's 3 buildings that are in the special flood hazard area currently. So there, heads up that mapping is being updated. May have been reached out to by FEMA at this point. Do you know if that's happened yet or anyone?
I'm sorry, what happened with it?
Has FEMA reached out to the town
No.
about the special flood hazard area map
No,
being updated?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So they will do that whenever they're working on the town and have draft maps ready. They're definitely working in the area, but they communicate directly with the town, so I'm not always aware. They don't include the regional planning commissions on their communications. So if you have questions, you can always reach out. Ned Swanberg at the state is also a good contact for this stuff. But in conjunction with the new FEMA mapping, the state has provided funding to the regional planning commission to assist towns with updating your flood hazard bylaws. And one of the things that the state is pushing for, I guess it's encouraging, is the adoption of river corridors with updated flood hazard bylaws. So that's really like the biggest change that would take place with your map update, your bylaw update if you chose to proceed with it. And right now, the river corridor regulation is optional, and that's the case until January 1st of 2028, when ANR will start regulating the river corridor without it being an option at the town level. So it'll just become a mandatory thing. Has anyone taken a look at the ANR Atlas? I have a link to that in the email, but have you seen the mapping of the river corridors?
I haven't seen anything, but we haven't seen it.
No. Well, take a look at the links in that email if you would, because you can really see what the areas are. You can zoom in on the Atlas, see, where impacted buildings are. But the mandatory regulation will be within the Mass River Corridor, which is the area that has a watershed size of 2 square miles or greater. In Staten, with you guys being higher up, a lot of what you have you have river corridors definitely, and they're more impactful on your built environment than they are special flood hazard areas. This is more buildings contained in the river corridor in Stratton than there are in special flood hazard area. But there's also a small stream setbacks or buffering. So for watersheds below 2 square miles, but more than half a square mile, so like that between a half and 2 square miles, that watershed size, there is a small stream buffer, it's called. It's from either side of the top of the bank of the stream. They measure 50 foot back from that point, and that within that area within is called is mapped as river corridor, or I'm sorry, regulated as river corridor. But it's just basically you have to determine where it is on the ground. So that between a half and 2 square mile stream buffers would be still optional. So it's just going to be the mapped river corridor that would be the mandatory regulation. Typically, the bylaws cover close to that optional half a square mile to and the regulated river corridor within what they would regulate. So basically what I wanted to let you know that that's coming down the pike. There's money right now for the Regional Planning Commission to help towns that are interested to update your flood hazard bylaws, hopefully to include the river corridors, but it would, you wouldn't have to. And so, you know, I would encourage you guys to consider it. I know that Victor was interested in doing it because part of the kind of carrot they give with this is if the town does regulate river corridors, you get a 5% bump in your ERAF rate. So once Stratton submits the local hazard mitigation plan to DEM, your ERAF rate will be 12.5%, and that is after following a federal declaration. FEMA would give 75%, and the remaining 25% would be split in half between the town and the DEM. The state. But you can get more from the state. You can get 17.5% from the state, and only be responsible for 7.5% if you do a bonus thing, such as regulate the river corridors. So that's kind of the financial carrot that they provide to towns, that 5% bump if you do choose to do that regulation. Now, when it becomes mandatory in 2028, I think what they will likely do is just give you the bump if you're also regulating the small stream buffers, like you talked about, between the half and 2 square mile, because everything else is going to be, you know, required of everyone anymore. So, is there any questions?
Yeah. How do we get the state out of our back pocket?
I know that there's a lot of mixed reactions to this, and it sounds like just another thing.
Another takeover.
It is a highly vulnerable area to fluvial erosion, which is the flooding hazard that Vermont most likely experiences. Most of the flooding damages we get are from fluvial erosion, which is from that moving floodwater eroding the bank. So it is trying to prevent development in the area that we have the most flooding damage in Vermont from.
Sounds like we're going to come up with this plan, and then basically ANR is going to tell us what to do anyway in about 2 years, if I'm getting this right.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that, because I do have a lot of questions. They haven't determined so it'll become mandatory, kind of like Shorelands, remember when Shorelands came into play with. Because that's the area around lakes. It's going to be like, I don't know if they're going to come in and replace a local regulation, or if they will take over the regulation of the Mass River Corridor and leave just the small stream buffer regulations with the town, or if they would, it's basically going to be an opt-in or opt-out thing. We haven't determined what. Terms of whether they will do the permitting, or they would leave it to towns that want to, or towns would have to opt in to keep the control of the permitting at the town level. But there's that, and if they're going to regulate like have a standard regulation of it, or if they're going to regulate to the standard of your local bylaw, which may have customizations and things that are unique about it. We haven't really seen so far. What they're doing is they are assisting the town with local permitting, keeping it all at the local level, but having a state review period for all of the permit applications. And then
this is A&R,
they are regulating,
correct,
to the bylaw set at the local level.
Sounds like to me they could turn everything over to the town, giving us a little bit of money to play with to fix it, and after it's all fixed and all straightened out, they're going to take it over. Right?
Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, if you...
Yeah, I can tell you right now.
If you
do
the bylaw update, including River Corridor, is your concern that you would... that the state would come in and take over the regulation?
Yeah.
Of it?
It's not a concern, it's just a fact.
It's what they do.
Yeah. I mean, are you saying, like, is your concern, like, first, I don't want to regulate more than I have to before I have to?
No, we want to regulate only what we have to.
What's that?
We want to regulate only what we have to regulate. We don't want somebody sitting behind a desk in Mount Pilgrim telling us we have to do things. We get very upset.
So are you not interested in regulating river corridors in advance of 2028 then?
Well, good will it do us.
What's that?
What good will it do us? They're going to do it for us.
I know. I mean, I hear what you're saying. And, I mean, there is... So with the new FEMA mapping coming up on board, it is a good time to take advantage of the funding out there for a flood hazard bylaw update. In Stratton's case, you have so little special flood hazard area. You're not really regulating too much.
Exactly. We do have flood, the flood hazard regulations in our zoning at this point. So.
Yeah, you do have them. Mapping coming up, it is a good idea to at least update, at least review and update them, even if you're not going to include the special or the river corridors. It is recommended to do an update.
Right. Okay, we can do that. All right.
So you want me to work on a flood hazard bylaw to not include the river corridors?
I don't know. We'll have to discuss it further amongst ourselves.
Okay. I would suggest that you consider the river corridor just because that is more of the reality of the flood hazard in Stratton. So I get what you're saying, but it will protect future development more comprehensively to do that than just to do the special flood hazard area, particularly in your high terrain, where you're at. So there's that. There's money now, but I do hear what you're saying. One town that did not choose to regulate river corridors is Wilmington. Every other town that I've worked with has chosen to do the river corridors in advance of the standard in 2028.
Okay, we'll discuss it, we'll review it, and then we'll get back to you. How's that?
Yep. We got to move
that
on.
That sounds good.
Yep.
Reach out with any questions. Whatever makes sense. But thank you for your time tonight.
All right, thank you. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right, you too. Good night. Bye bye.
Well, you're having a continuing conversation.
Well, just like you say, basically, we're going to. You go through all this bullshit, and A&R is going to tell you what the fuck to do anyway.
Essentially, what she said is, look, you can do it now, and if you do it now and you have a flood the next year and a half, you get an extra 5.5% of the money back.
Fucking deal.
Or you don't do it, and it happens in 2 years.
Yeah. We'll get 5% back, and we'll spend 25% trying to get it.
Yeah.
With that bullshit that you have to go through. Maybe if FEMA's so fucking worried about the river corridors, maybe they ought to tell the people in Waterbury, who where Vermont Emergency Manages, who got flooded the last time, they want might want to move their office up a little higher.
Out of a town called Waterbury.
They did move it. But they were going to rebuild it at the same time.
Yeah.
Got flooded.
Yeah.
I parked right next to it the other night. Yes.
They should rename that town Floodsville or some fucking thing like that. You know?
The clue is still on.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Sometimes you need a certain adjectives to.
Yeah, I know. Gosh.
Yeah, I mean,
I hope we never have to deal with FEMA again.
I mean,
if we have to raise $20 million in taxes,
all this stuff is mind-boggling.
Yeah,
and how many dudes that are probably making $150,000 a year have to go looking through all this stuff?
And they just throw this ball in front of you. Well, you get an extra 5%, and it'll secure 15 more jobs. You know, for them to keep track of all this.
Like Wilmington's ahead. See it.
It's like still running all the digits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, we'll give you grant money for that.
Big deal.
What about when it comes time to replace it?
It's pretty obvious that the legislature's made that decision, because if they had asked any road foreman around the state, we wouldn't be dumping rocks in a ditch.
Yeah. No, it's...
Grass is the best building.
It's ridiculous.
We were doing it
before. Okay. Town forest, rec area, trails, and projects.
So he's going to ask to see if she can wait until January for a decision on the agreement. I haven't heard back from him whether she's agreed, but I told him it was busy tonight and we've got our budget meeting on the 22nd. He said if it's necessary, we might still want a special meeting if necessary. But I don't see that happening between now and the end.
So I think they wanted to get it done by the first of the year. You know,
it's a holiday season.
And I talked to Steve Patrick today, and he said that he's trying to get Act 250 to get in touch with him so that they can formally start proceeding with the Act 250 grant amendment.
At the rec area.
Has Bob looked over the thing from TNC?
He's the one who sent it to us.
Yeah, I know he sent it to us, but he said he's going to go over the tooth comb and pick it all apart and make sure what they're saying and what they're asking for.
Seems like we have to hook up with him before we do anything, wouldn't you think? Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, I guess I'm not.
Yeah, so he's going to see if they'll come, if they're willing to push it into 2026 before we really get back to it, which is fine.
Yeah, then we'll have it all.
And then what was his opinion on the Sawmill Club?
I thought he said option two didn't look too bad. He said you could go ahead and sign that agreement with Vast.
The landowner permission.
And that should still be in the box here somewhere. He said that's fine, that's standard. But he was going to bounce that issue off of their attorney as well, and he didn't say that he had talked to her about that. He was going to be at the same time that he talked to her about setting up the next meeting.
Not the stump jumpers thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, better off going.
But he didn't think that, he thought that option two looked okay, I guess, but they need to see it first.
We certainly don't need it. Maybe another.
We don't need to add fuel to the fire.
No. Right.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I have nothing against the Sawmill Club, but I don't really feel obligated to bail them out of a mess that they got themselves into.
No.
This is the way I look at it.
I don't think we're letting them on there. Not to get this all straightened out. Personally.
I mean, I feel bad for the people that it affects. I understand.
But like you said, you hit it on the head.
You know, they
caused
the problem.
It's like the Westboro group. You know, they've got to get their act together and do things right. If they don't do things right, well, that's the consequences you receive.
They need to
was, bro, didn't end up in jail beyond me for all the crap they pulled.
Well, they were ready to go trail building when everything was a freaking swamp, and he threw them out of there. You know, I was like, why the hell is he waiting? It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. I guess he figures it's a good time of year for him. So I don't know. It's a good time for a freaking environment.
So, we need this permission form.
No, Bob said you can sign the permission.
You can sign the vast permission form. That's just land use. It doesn't say any specific land use. You said that's standard. So.
Does that form has a part on it where it will call out a specific portion of trail? Did they call out a specific portion of trail? Because I think what they were shooting for was the Triple Tree Trail that Mark Magny put in
years ago
that crosses Stratton Town Forest.
Yeah.
This doesn't say anything about anything. It's just a funny form.
I wouldn't sign it then.
No. There's no name, they don't even name the club.
Signing that's like a blank check.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm a lawyer, but.
I stand that in, so it's a yellow end. Sorry, but I agree with you guys.
The times that I've asked people to sign those, we wrote in, a description of what they were giving us permission to use.
At least who they are.
If there's nothing on there, no.
It's on the name of the county, and then Snowville Club name.
Don't sign. Yeah.
Physical student.
All it takes is a signature once we get clarification on it. So.
Yeah.
Road crew issue.
Okay. That additional grant has been submitted for the additional funding for Grout Pond Road, so I don't know when we're going to hear on that, but it's in. We made the deadline. So, hoping by the first week or so in January to have the new truck. Lafayette's is hopefully going to come down this week. Somebody took out our guardrail down at the end of Kennedy Road, so hopefully they're going to get that fixed. I don't know who did it, but
they were going the wrong way, right? Boomer, how do you feel that baby, right?
No, he was going the right way. He just tried to swing with the tractor trailer or something, and he ripped the
radius. Oh, he's coming out of Kennedy Road, yeah.
Got the traffic study results back for Penny Avenue and Kennedy Road. Looks like about, back in October, it was about 220 cars a day on Penny Avenue. And I'm sure that number increases during the winter, by a lot, about 140 a day on Kennedy Road. That's just.
Dino early in the morning, during the summertime, it's like 15, 20 cars an hour for 2-3 hours.
I'm trying to. I've been talking to Allie about, we talked last year about the grader purchase, and I think we have the money to buy it. So I'm trying to nail down some pricing. Caterpillar is going to have a 3% increase, which is 3% of $450,000 is a pretty good chunk of money. So if I could get prices pretty soon, it would be nice if we could at least ink something with them to get it in the works. Because if we buy a cat, he said it's probably going to be 8 months before we see it. So,
is that what we want at that?
I think, based on what we've seen, I'm certain that John Deere is going to come in cheaper, but I'd like to see what the money is. We have a Deere now. Stuart got the opportunity to run a cat. That was about the only good thing, in my opinion, that came of that Willis Road project was he got to demo the new type grader,
cat.
Well, it was the guy that owns it, that's basically, and he liked it. So, depending upon how the numbers come in, I prefer to have the cat just for a lot of reasons. I think their service is a lot better. Ever since John Deere took over working on lawnmowers, it's hard to get them to fix anything, once they combined their ag and everything. But we'll talk about that. Hopefully I can have some prices and that's really about it. There's not that much else. I'm hoping to get together with Tom Fuller in the next week or two to figure out a budget figure for next summer and how we're going to go about that. And Allie and I have already worked out a good share of the highway budget. Just so that part of it should be pretty fast. There's nothing.
Past 2 years since she paid.
Yeah. No, it's really good because she, you know, she's on top of all of that.
That's the 22nd of the budget, right?
Yeah. But other than that, there's not really, you know, it's just kind of rolling along, you know, plowing and sanding now. That's about it.
Understood.
Yeah, they're still just doing overhead stuff. I think that, you know, I think that's probably going to continue. The tree guys have been staging up in the rec area at night, but I think I'm going to move them down to the garage only because the rec area starts seeing more night use with the sliding hill and stuff now that we're getting, you know, snow more regularly. So I figure that way, if their stuff isn't in the way on the weekends. He lets them dump chips up there. So that's where they get rid of a lot of the stuff that they're chipping. So, but they've been
one hell of a pile by now.
Yeah. They've been parking their trucks up at the rec area at night, which it doesn't hurt anything. But now that it's getting busier, the rec area is seeing more use. You know, so they take up like half the parking lot. So I talked to one of their foremen today, and I just said, why don't you guys just start landing down at the garage? And I could give them a clicker, so if they ever have to get in, if we're not there, they can.
Where are you going to put them in there so they're out of your way?
Probably put them over, like, right across from the dump where the old recycling containers used to be years ago. Okay. I think they can all stretch in there or down by the burn pile. We got enough room.
What's that, half dozen of
them? No, there's, like, three big trucks. Okay. And,
but they get out and they cover them and drive them away.
Yeah, during the day. Yeah. So it's not a big problem. We have plenty of room to move stone around. Yeah, so that's about it. And I, at some point, I think we'll see GMP back here again in a meeting, but I don't know when. But other than that, that's about
looking to bury some more.
But their overhead's looking good. I mean, that's
looking.
But yeah, I don't think I have anything else on my list.
Is the zoning thing there for that new house that went in up there on Mountain Road?
Yeah, that's what you guys dealt with. That's for the ZBA to make that change of the driveway official.
So they're going to have two driveways.
No. They're going to use the original driveway. We said they can use the original driveway through construction, and then they're going to abandon the original driveway and have the new one that they've now put in that they deem to be a little bit more comfortable and safer. And we said that was
so fine. They'll have two for a little.
We already
isn't that far down from the other one?
Well,
it's about 125 feet.
Yeah. I mean, we basically already said they could do it.
So they'll use two while they're building it, and then they'll eliminate the one, try and make it all prettier.
I just got an appointment in our meeting with the court in January, 12th, 13th, sometime. Must be the 12th of deciding or discussing with them how both sides want to proceed, whether go into mediation or take it to court, or just decide you don't want to do mediation, then we go to court.
Then we go to court, we lose. We always do lose. It's generally goes to the state. Seems like we do.
No.
I don't know. What everybody want to do?
It's no fact.
Have to find that shoot match.
But anyway, this. The listers know about it, and they're, you know, they'll follow through with whatever. But this selectman's decision.
I mean,
of course, you're part of the BCA. That,
mediation is going decision. To cost less money.
Huh?
Not going to court. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So if that's the case, then Bob should come and talk to you about it. What terms, if you wanted to do that. So he's got something to work with.
It's going to cost money to have him here to remediation. Probably not as much.
It was, so there's still dealing, we're still dealing
it's
with
just
the,
a notice of a hearing.
2024 appeal, and they're going to try and roll it up to 25 appeal, and they took the house and was fully finished on going to the Superior Court along, as they had with the assessment when it was partially finished. So I guess it would be rolling those two together, trying to make a decision on that. It's my understanding of how that would work. But that would be what. Something for Bob to discuss with you guys, probably in an executive session, I assume.
Yeah. And
is that time sensitive? I mean, do we have to make a decision right away?
Well,
the hearing
it's
is
a
10-minute
hearing on the 12th, and I think it's just to see which way they want to go. But that's about the best I can claim.
I mean, do we want to see if we can get Bob here for a hot second on the 22nd before we do the budget?
We can sail through the budget anyway. I mean, if we need to see him, we probably should.
Oh, yeah,
otherwise, we'll see him next year.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be pretty damn close.
Well, we don't have a, that's the last meeting.
Unless we have a special one, but I mean, I'm all for fitting him in.
Yeah.
Want to get Bob
we have him here. We have him here.
We'll sail through the budget pretty quick anyway.
Either that or he might be able to call him or something as well.
Or even if he could come at 7:15 or something like that or whatever, you know, I mean, before.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about
it. Or 7 or whatever.
I'm assuming that would probably be executive session.
Yeah.
For that discussion.
The budget is going to take a while to see how it all done. Yeah, I'll just do it the same way. As long as we don't have any other visitors, right? We shouldn't have any other visitors.
No, and kind of have it open up.
If Trey shows up, lock the door. Stevie, just lock the door if he shows.
Okay, so we're going to have him over here and we'll figure it out, then go from there.
Yep. Hopefully, he can make it. We'll find out.
Maybe he can call.
Okay. Any other business?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's the whole study. What's that?